Good afternoon and welcome to Live Well Lifestyle Seminar with Perry A. I'm thrilled to have you here today and to be back. I was out last month and I want to thank my friends Dr. David Wilson and Dr. Chantel Mackey for filling in to me. It sounds like y'all had a really good time and they presented a great program on mindfulness and staying in the moment. Today's topic is going to be kind of a review of some things we've talked about before, and the reason I'm reviewing it is because we forget. Until we get to practicing things every day, they can just come right back and move back in. You know, it's kind of like a pet you can't get rid of. They slip in the house, and next thing you know, they're in your bed. So today's topic is complaint, blame, and excuse-free. What would it be like to have a complaint, blame, and excuse-free world, to live in that environment? Just think about that a moment. Nothing to complain about, no one to blame, and no need to make excuses. You know, just saying the words makes me feel lighter. It takes a burden off. And my intention for today is to take total responsibility for my actions, to live in a complaint, blame, and excuse-free environment. And I want to challenge each of you to try to do that at least for one day. Just notice when you're starting to complain about something and stop and reverse it. Look for something good to say. And notice when you're going to make an excuse. We love to make excuses while we're late or while we're not perfect or while our house isn't in order or there's a mess here or we couldn't get the laundry done because we were doing this and this and this and this. And by the time we finish making up our excuses, we could have gotten the house done. You know, it really keeps us in a cycle of chasing our tail. So how to take responsibility to live in a complaint, blame, and excuse-free environment. We all make mistakes. It's called learning. Don't be afraid to learn. Leaders are not afraid of making mistakes. To own it means you can change it. If you can't own it, then you're the victim of it and you can't change a situation. Have you ever listened to some of these coaches after a football game? And they're pretty honest. They say, you know, they just beat us today. They outplayed us today. We've got to work on our penalties. We've got to work on our defense. Our offense was not on target. We need to go back to the practice fields and work on these certain things and maneuvers. And they own it. They don't make an excuses. Well, the weather was bad, or I have a few injured players out, and that's why we didn't do so good. They own it, and once they own it, you can do something about it. You can go back and practice on the weaknesses, look at the films, find where you could have done it better, and be willing to take that action. Sometimes you can say, you know, I did that wrong. I can do better than that. Let me try that again. When someone criticizes you, we take it so personal and we get very defensive. What if we just owned it and said, you know, you might be right. I'll take a look at that. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. Now, you didn't say they were right or you were wrong. You just said, I hear you. I'll look at it and thank you. Now, you have dissolved an argument before it ever started. Keep that little clue in mind, how to stay out of arguing. The reasons we're here is to learn. Babies are not inhibited by making mistakes. They just keep trying until they get old enough to understand what adults are telling them, and the trying is shamed or feared out of them by well-meaning adults. Babies fall down, they get up. Unless we go, oh, did you hurt yourself? And we put anxiety in them. They don't think anything about falling on their little bottoms. They just roll over and get up and try again. And sometimes our fears for them are projected onto them, and you can make them grow up being afraid in the world, afraid of falling down. And they will learn pretty quickly. I mean, if they're going to about to walk off the edge of a cliff, you definitely need to teach them right from wrong on that. But if it's something small, let them have their fall. And I've never known a child who didn't have to get burned or touch something hot to learn what the meaning of hot was, no matter how much mama hollered, no, 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 hot, 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 don't touch. Until they understand what that means, until they experience hot, there's nothing there. You know, there's no reason for them not to touch the stove. And sometimes we need to touch the stove. Sometimes we need to touch something hot just to learn. Leaders are change champions. You can't be a leader without being subject to criticism. Change champions know that changing something, anything, will entice critical remarks from others. Despite this, change champions do not let the doom and gloom forecast of others get in their way. They refuse to please others at their own expense. If they know it's the right thing to do, they move forward. They're steadfast in their journey. That was from Dr. Alan Zimmerman. I like that approach, and I wonder why anybody wants to be president or congressman, because they have to have a tough hide. They have to be willing to take criticism, because you can't please everybody in this world. And in today's world on political issues, there's a big divide. There's a whole lot of people that are passionate for and a whole lot of people that are passionate against, and will put you down every way they can to get their point across. So you've got to be a little tough-hided. If you're not, you're a follower. It's very safe to work for someone else. It's scary to be an entrepreneur and to get out and start something on your own. You're totally responsible for your success. You have to keep marketing. You have to give good service. You have to stand on your principles. It'll work, but sometimes it's a 24/7 job, not just a 7-day-a-week job. Security is letting someone else have the worries. The owners of the company may make more money, but they also carry the burden of the success of maintaining the success. So if you're not a little thick-headed and willing to do that, get you a nice, secure job. Nothing is wrong with that, absolutely. But just notice that what it takes to succeed in life, you've got to be a little tough, and I call it taking being able to withstand constructive criticism. When somebody criticizes you, take it as constructive criticism. A little of it may be crud, and it could be constructive. I'm willing to listen to that. Thank you. That's not the way I see it exactly, but I'll look at it, and I appreciate you bringing it to my attention. That's ownership, and that also takes you out of the battle zone. I drew a divine wisdom card to go along with this topic today, and again, I'm amazed at how I find something that is so in sync. I actually accidentally pulled out two cards, and when I read the first one, I went, oh, this one doesn't fit. And then I realized I had two cards stuck together. And when I read the second card, I went, oh, there it is. So the Divine Wisdom card says, so long as you entertain the notion that there is something or someone else out there doing it to you, you disempower yourself to do anything about it. Only when you say, I did this, can you find the power to change it. Now, isn't that not in divine order about what we've been talking about change champions and ownership, being able to be willing that you made to admit you made a mistake? It's called vulnerability. When you're vulnerable, you become human. And when you said, you know, I could have done that better. I really didn't do the best or make the best decision then, but I've learned from it, and next time I'd like to have a chance to do it better. That's ownership. And when you do that, you connect with people because we've all made mistakes. And to hear somebody that's a leader say they made a mistake and they're not perfect gives us all hope. Wow, he's human. He's just like me. He's not on a pedestal. He takes one step at a time, and he makes mistakes sometimes too. Believe me, we all do. I find that making excuses is one of the things that's peculiar about us. Particularly if you're running late, you want to make a comment about the train. You got stopped by a long train, or there was a traffic jam, or, you know, as you're going out the car, the dog jumped up and put a runner in your hose and you had to go back in and change your pantyhose. Well, that's not for men, but for women. Maybe the dog jumped up and knocked your coffee cup and spilled coffee on you and you had to change your clothes at the last minute. All that is for us to feel good about not giving enough time to get where we're going. This morning I had an appointment at 9 o'clock. And I left here at 8 o'clock. I gave myself a full hour to get there. Normally, it takes me 45 minutes. But I wanted to give myself extra time because I was going early. And I thought by 9 o'clock, by 8:30, you know, people are at work by 8 o'clock and the traffic will be down. Well, I was 5 minutes late. And the only thing I said when I went in was, remind me not to make any more appointments at 9 o'clock. It's just too much hassle of being in traffic. I'd rather come at 10 o'clock and give time for the traffic to go away. I didn't say what I sat through, how many times I sat through a light. I didn't say there was a block up of traffic at this point, at that point. And just notice how we want to make those excuses that we aren't perfect. And go ahead and be willing to not be perfect, but not have to make excuses. If you're late, you're late. You don't have to say it. People notice it. Somebody will come in and say, you know, you're late today, and say, thank you for noticing, and go to your desk. So how would it be to live in an excuse-free world? Someone pops in on you, your house isn't immaculate. Invite them in anyway. You don't have to make an excuse. We don't want to be seen as imperfect. But don't you feel good when somebody will invite you into their clutter and you get to see, oh my gosh, they have days like I do too. Again, you're being vulnerable and you're not being perfect. If your house was spotless every time, I would be very awkward about having you over to my house. Because I would be afraid there would be a dust crumb somewhere and you would find it or something out of place. So see how when you're willing to be vulnerable, it's really your strength, not your weakness. The power thought I drew, it was also pretty close. It said, I'm flexible and flowing. I'm open to new and change. Every moment provides a wonderful new opportunity to become more of who I am. I flow with life easily and effortlessly. So every moment presents an opportunity. Wow. Every incident presents an opportunity for you to practice living in a complaint-free, blame-free, excuse-free world. I drew a card called a soul coaching card, and it's money and the law of attraction card. It said, nothing is more important than that I feel good. Whenever you are feeling less than good, you will stop and say, nothing is more important than that I feel good. I want to find a reason now to feel good. Then you will find a way to improve a thought. So the most important thing in your day is to feel good. When someone criticizes you, let it roll off. You know, if you see something there that triggers you and you think, you know, they might be right, look at it, own it. But don't be chopped off at the knees about it. It's an observation. It's their perspective. Yours might be different, but just be willing to look at it. And then find something to feel good about, something you've done that day or something you feel good about. When you look for a reason to feel good, you will find it. There was a time when I was coaching people coming out of prison. We did a lifestyle training class for them, helping them adjust and get back into life. They had to take a class. So a friend of mine and I conducted the class, and we would start the class off with, tell me something good that happened to you this week. And some of them couldn't find anything good about their lives. And then one would say, well, a friend offered me a ride today, and I didn't have to walk to the bus stop and stand in the heat and take the bus and then walk 2 blocks to get here to this meeting. And once someone thought of something good, someone else would think of something good, and someone would say, well, you know, they don't let you out of prison with much of a wardrobe, and my brother came over, and he wears the same size I do, and he brought me some casual clothes and some dress clothes and shoes and a jacket, and is helping me build my wardrobe again, and that was really nice. And another one said, you know, I have so enjoyed home-cooked food this week. It's so good not to be eating prison food that I'm really grateful and happy to be able to have better choices about eating. I can cook something I want. I can go out to eat and get something that's really good. I don't have to eat bologna sandwiches 3 times a day. So look for a reason and you will find it. Anytime you feel negative emotion, you're in a mode of resisting something you want, and that resistance takes its toll on you. So when you have negative and you're down, it's like a block. It's like a veil goes up between you and what you're wanting and what you're asking for. It takes a toll on your physical body, and it takes a toll on the amount of wonderful things that you're allowing to come into your experience. When you're spiraling downward, you have a heaviness about you that pulls you down, and it pulls negative things into that environment, into that downward spiral, and bad things are going to happen. You're going to get a flat tire, the washing machine quits, the plumbing goes out, little things just happen, and it seems like when you're down and out, and once they start happening and you complain about it and you're bitter about it, more happen. So don't complain and find something to be grateful for and quit blocking the good that's coming to you. There's a lot of good you've built up. There's a lot that you want, you've asked for. And when you get into these downward spirals, you're just saying, no, don't give it to me yet. I'm not ready. So you're literally blocking it. But it's in storage, and all you have to do is be willing to let it in and be willing to be grateful. I sit on my porch every morning and look out, and I just have my God moment where I'm thankful. Yesterday morning I saw 3 blue jays. I had a little wren that came right up on my porch, and the hummingbird was there today, and it's getting close to October when the hummingbirds leave and migrate, so I got to see the hummingbird again. Just seeing 3 bluebirds in my morning was beautiful. It was like, okay, God, I know you're here. I've seen your presence in nature. My flowers are blooming. They look beautiful. They're loving this cooler weather. And I just had an overwhelming feeling of gratitude and appreciation. And when you can get in that space, you let so much good in. Just take 5 minutes to go out and look where you live and be thankful you have a home. Be thankful you have security. It may not be the home that you eventually want, but you're protected from the weather. You have a place to go, and it's yours to make better. You can make it better. I always have a priority of any place I leave. I want to leave it looking better than I moved there. I like to add things to the flower beds and really spice it up a little bit, just to make some improvements to have it better than when I came. That's just a personal goal of mine, but it makes you feel good. So be careful of those negative emotions. A closing thought for today, and I'm not sure what time it is, but we're going to open up for questions here in a minute. Glance at my book. We have about 10 minutes left. A closing thought is that the universe rewards action. Successful people take actions towards a known outcome. They have a goal in mind and they take a step. You can't think about it. You have to do it. If you sit under the rock and worry, if I make this decision, is this going to be the right one? What if I make the wrong decision? You take a step, and if it feels like it's right, you take another step. If it feels wrong, you back up and take another choice. But do something. You cannot know which way to go until you get started. And the universe will show you. It will show you what you're doing right or wrong. And then you can always go back and change it. But do take action. If you just wait, you get stagnant. You have to do it, and you don't. You have to do it, and you don't do it for a week or a month. You do it until you get what you want. People that are successful are able to see what success is. They're able to divine it in their mind's eye, and they take action steps towards that goal. So that's what leaders do. And we're all leaders unless we've had it drilled out of us by someone well-meaning or non-well-meaning drove it out of us. But you can reclaim it. You can always change and go back and say, I'm not that person they described. I'm different. We change day to day. Be aware of your changes and be proud of them. All right, I'm going to go over and open up to see if we have any questions on Q&A. We usually don't for this session, but it would be nice if we did. I'm not seeing anything there. I'm going to ask on the phone line, is anybody on the phone line who would like to ask a question? If you would, if you'll press star 2 on your phone, I will open my line and we can talk about life. And we can talk about how to do some turnarounds. I'm not seeing any response on that. Hello? Yes. Can you speak a little louder? Hello? I'm not hearing you very well. Can you talk into the phone louder? Hello? Well, we're not making connection here. If you can email me a question, I can answer it, but I'm not able to hear you. Okay. Sorry about that. I hate it when that happens, but it's part of doing these programs. And there I complained, didn't I? I hate it when it happens. Sorry I couldn't answer your question. And I made an excuse there. I'm sorry. You see how we do it? And that's exactly how. And then you be aware of it and you just say, well, we didn't make that connection, did we? So let me just talk a little bit more about how your life would be if you didn't have anything to complain about. Sometimes we get in the habit of complaining and we look for things to complain about, look for things to brag about, look for things to be grateful for. Don't look for the negative. We share space with people when we're in a relationship. And no one is going to keep your part of your space just like their space. you know, so many women marry people thinking they can fix them and make them neat, make these men neat, and it just doesn't happen. You've got to accept them as they are. Look at the things you love about them and be able to accept the things you don't love about them. Maybe they're not very tidy or they leave their pickup all cluttered. And look at all the good things about them and do the good outweigh the bad? Because they've probably been cluttering their pickup for their whole life. It's because they don't know how. You can either try to teach them how to organize it if you're an organized person, or you can do it for them, or you can quit complaining and let them be their problem. Excuse me. I know we've gone over this before, but just like I ended right there and I found a complaint and I said, I'm sorry. Love is never needing to say you're sorry. So I hope that each person listening in can just for one day be very conscious and have the intention not to complain, not to blame, and not to make excuses. To be willing to claim ownership for everything in your life. If you don't like it, make a step to change it. I'm going to sign out now because I'm just about to have a sneezing fit. Excuse me. Well, for that you can say excuse me. This is Perrier, and I'm going to call it short a little bit because I feel a sneezing attack coming on. Thank you for listening in, and next week we will be back for our clay seminar. Sneezes happen. Have a good day. This is Perrier signing out.